How we doing here, sir?
Yes, sir.
Checking 1, 2. That's a bell-like tone. Used in broadcasting for commercial reasons.
Nice radio voice.
Thank you, sir. Little do they know, that voice needs therapy.
Easily. Let the fun begin, ladies.
Let the fun begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by Atlanta's own Bruce Hampton, legendary musician, band leader, composer, whose career has spanned decades of Atlanta music and who has a broad knowledge of Georgia music. Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. Let's get into a little bit of Georgia music history right off the bat.
Well, there's, you know, to me, Mississippi and Georgia have produced about 95% of American music. And some of the absolute greats have come from Georgia. Fletcher Henderson, Ma Rainey, Gladys Knight, Little Richard, Otis Redding, James Brown, Ray Charles. You could go on for days and days, and we sure are blessed to have that here.
And how about your own brushes with Georgia history and some of the figures that have come through?
When I was about 16 years old, there was a blues discovery, rediscovery of Buddy Moss, who was one of the first Piedmont artists, and he was on Columbia in the 1930s. He would actually sign a major recording contract. And I got to know him, and he was playing with a harmonica player named Bill Dicey, who later went on to play with Muddy Waters. I tell you, that was quite an experience, say the least. And I drove them around to their gigs, and I had a 53 Cadillac. This was in 63, and it had no reverse in it. And we would go to the gig, and just hopefully we could park straight on. And the car is about 25 feet long and got 2 tanks to the mile. But learned a lot of knowledge hanging out with those two, to say the least. They played at Donovan's Wharf here in Atlanta, if you remember that.
Wow, that's a name out of the past.
Yeah, that's way out of the past. And Buddy would play festivals, and he got rediscovered in the 60s, and just like Son House and Bucca White.
So he lived to see a resurgence in his popularity.
He did live to see a resurgence. He lived across the street from the old Atlanta Stadium, and it was on Richardson Street. And it's strange how the brain works. I remember the address, 222A Richardson Street. And his wife was Pearl and his dog was Dot. And he could never get their names together right. And he would call the dog Pearl, come here. Buddy was quite a character and just wrote fantastic tunes. And I guess I'm sure everything's available now. Get on the internet and find the great Buddy Moss. Yeah, certainly an early influence.
We are speaking with Atlanta band leader, songwriter, singer, road warrior with his groups for years, well, decades. Bruce Hampton with us here at AM 1690. Tell us a story about the Atlanta International Pop Festival and your group there.
Well, the traffic was so dense, and they say, you know, it took just 12, 15 miles backed up. We got to play 3 times, I believe, and it was 102, 104 that day in Byron, Georgia. And it's funny, we got to see one of Hendrix's last performances. The Allmans really established themselves there. They played 3 times in front of hundreds of thousands of people. And there's never been a hotter day on earth.
Were you apprehensive going into that festival?
It's funny, the bigger the gig, the easier and more relaxed I am. It's when there's 200 people or 10 people, then it becomes personal. But if there's a couple hundred thousand or 40,000, it's just a good rehearsal.
Anything stand out in your mind from that?
That day?
Yeah.
Well, actually, Johnny Jenkins, who I've always admired, was Otis Redding's guitar player, and he played a upside-down left-handed Stratocaster and dressed very flamboyantly. And Jimi Hendrix was there, too. And Hendrix used to go and see him quite a bit. And he was supposed to come and play that night, but never did. Yeah, never got on the golf court and went to the other stage.
Right. You're referring to Hendrix? Or
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Jenkins played all night. I think it was with Dwayne and Johnny Sandlin and Butch. It was on the other stage a mile or so away.
And, of course, Johnny Jenkins and Dwayne Allman recorded.
Right.
Down along the Cove. at Muscle Shoals. And
yep, you know your stuff.
Great stuff out of the Georgia music scene. We're speaking with Bruce Hampton here at AM 1690, legendary Atlanta band leader. One of the godfathers of the jam band scene. Is that a compliment? Is that true?
I'll take anything. All insults are compliments. All compliments are insults.
And
anything will work.
Of course, so many nationally known musicians have come through your band. It's amazing. Let's start with Sonny Emery. Was a regular in one of your groups?
Back when he was a teenager, we played a lot together. There's nobody more spirited than Sonny Emery. And what a drummer.
Many years with Earth, Wind, and Fire, currently with Bette Midler in Las Vegas.
Sonny's played with everybody.
Jimmy Herring of the Grateful Dead and many other groups, Widespread Panic.
Allman Brothers,
Tell me about Jimmy Herring's time in your group.
God, I guess we spent 4 or 5 years together, and we drove every day and listened to a lot of Braves baseball every night on the way to the gigs, and there's no better human being and no better guitar player.
Okay, Bruce, I've got some free association for you.
Sounds good.
I'll give you a word or a name or a place. Give me what pops up into your head. Keep in mind, folks, Bruce Hampton, an avid sports fan, which is mildly stated, from way back, going with one of Atlanta's old-time landmarks, Ponce Park.
As the greatest. And the teams of the 50s, Eddie Matthews played there. Bob Montag in center, Jack Daniels, Ebba St. Clair, Poochie Hartsfield, Corky Valentine. It goes on and on and on. There's a magnolia tree in left center. And supposedly the rumor is Babe Ruth was coming through. They'd play an exhibition there every first week of May on their way to New York. And in 1928, it hit a home run onto the railroad tracks and got stuck in the car and went to Kansas City. Stupidly known as the longest home run ever, but I wonder if that's true again either, too. It could be I love mythocracy much more than truth.
That is a great story. Continuing with free association, Alex Cooley.
I heard he finally retired. What a promoter. And I'd known Alex opened the first pizza parlor here in Atlanta in 1962, I think, in Buckhead, and he was the delivery guy. And Alex lives in Tennessee now. What a promoter, and good Lord, he did so much for Atlanta music. And just amazing. He's an amazing guy.
Smith's Old Bar.
That bar has been, 18 years now? And I tell you, the toughest thing you can run is being the nightclub business or bar business. Good place to play, great PA system.
Alexander Memorial Coliseum at Georgia Tech.
That's been there since 52, I think. And I used to watch a lot of great basketball there in the early 60s. Herb White. Hey, Herb. And Roger Kaiser, Dave Denton, Cotton Nash. When I was growing up, that was the place to be in 61 to 63. I don't think anyone else listening cares. But
the greats of Georgia Tech from another era.
Yeah, from another era, yeah.
Dykes High School.
That's where I went to high school, and I think it closed in about 1970. And I got in a lot of trouble there being the last in my graduating class. I made 4 F's and 1 D, and the principal was quite upset. And he said, "What do you think about this?" And I went, "Too much time on one subject." So he eventually threw me out. I was hanging out at the Royal Peacock every night, listening to Otis Redding, James Brown, Ray Charles, B.B. King, and Bobby Bland. So I didn't attend high school much anymore. I got my church and my schooling at the Royal Peacock.
If they had given grades on that,
yes, I passed.
You would have been exemplary. We're doing free association with Bruce Hampton here in the AM 1690 studios. Bruce Hampton, Atlanta legend, a prolific composer.
I'd say decomposer. Decomposition.
Let's talk about, let's take a tangent here. Tell me about songwriting. How do you approach songwriting? Do you make a time to sit down and write a song?
Man, I don't have any idea. Yeah, I don't know how it works. I've never done anything on a calculated formula. I've always friend of mine said, one and one is two, but what's one? And that's always what I've lived by. I don't have the answer for it. And I'm not sure, you know, I have no idea. I'm an accountant who had a detour.
You're considered surrealist, an avant-gardist, a really fun guy. How do you see yourself in music?
Well, boy, it just changes every day. I see myself probably as a folk singer, just from a different planet. You know, I breathe chlorophyll and it has different... different a folk singer from a different planet, I think, yeah. I really don't understand, quote, music on this planet unless it's pure of heart. And that's what I listen to first. Nothing else matters to me. And it's got to come from the church, or it's got to have folk music, or it has to have blues. It has to have that emotional chord element to me, or it's not, you know, it has to have a timeless element where you can play it 400 years from now, and it'll still be good.
Your bands, the ensembles that you lead, have changed their sounds so many times. Some of them have been keyboard-led with the keyboard at the fore. Some of them have had a banjo, guitar. Tell me how you decide which direction you're going.
Well, I've probably done about five tunes for 50 years that are the same five tunes, and I basically want to get down to one tune and just do it every night. But nobody else wants to, but I'd like to do 300 compositions in that one tune every night. And like I said, there's never anything calculated. It just comes, and it causes a lot of trouble a lot of time. And I irritate a lot of people with it, but I don't know.
The flavor of the music has changed.
You know, when I started off at 16, I said, I want to do every type of music I can, whether bad pop or the oddest music you can play, totally irritating to everyone, or the simplest, you know. To me, there's got to be melody running through everything always, whether it be avant-garde or Mama's Little Baby Loves Schulten and Mama's Little Baby Loves Schulten and Bread. That has to be there. The Cecil Taylor, to me, still playing nursery rhymes on the highest level. And whether Bill Monroe or B.B. King, it all is the same thing. It's all there. That simplicity of melody still comes through.
How about, as long as we're talking about the elements of music, melody, and how about the harmony that surrounds that, the chords and the structure of the songs? How do you get to that? Your music is highly inventive.
I would call it harmony. I'm not sure it's harmony, but harmony would be the essence of it, I believe.
Let's talk about your instrument that you play. It's okay. Like a guitar.
It's a sort of a, it's a mandol, it's a mandocello, sort of. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And when the group gets too good, I come in and disrupt it. So if they're playing too well, I disrupt it quite a bit.
The chazoid, is that the name of your instrument?
Yeah, it is. I have one called a derelator and one called a potarth. But the chazoid's the main instrument.
Bruce Hampton in the AM 1690 studios. Some more free association from Atlanta Words. Bagley Park.
Wow. Great baseball was played there. Little League. I played Little League there. And Bubba Weitch, I hope you're still out there. He struck out 18 there in 1958. Still a Little League record.
Subsequently, University of Tennessee.
And then he went on to Toronto for like 7 years and won the Super Bowl or somewhere in Canada forever. Greatest athlete ever, maybe.
Brother Sam Weitch.
Sam Weitch coached Cincinnati Bengals in San Francisco, and I grew up with him. And it was always amazing to watch him. I saw Bubba maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I hope he's doing well.
Glenn Phillips.
Good guitar player.
Associated with your group. With
Hampton Grease Band.
Harold Kelling.
A guy who got me involved in everything. When I was about 14 or 15, I was just this weird guy who would shoot basketball hook shots, and I would dress in a sports coat just for no reason. And he came up to me and said, I'd like you to come sing in our group because you're the weirdest guy I've ever seen. And, you know, that's like asking me to go operate on bull's brains in Bulgaria or something, you know. And I went, what? you know, just out of those, like, you know, saying you'd be an astronaut today. And I said, okay, I'd love to, let's give it a shot. And I went up on stage, and the first song I sang, I went, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. I was absolutely on fire. And then the next 30 years, I couldn't find the tonal center. And it took quite a long time to adjust to playing true music. But Harold was a dear, beloved friend, and really the inventor of the Hampton Grease Band, and great musical ideas, and just incredible, gifted man.
We're playing Atlanta Free Association with Colonel Bruce Hampton. Billy McPherson.
Incredibly talented guy. He played with Hendrix when he was in high school, and Billy's in very serious health right now, and he needs a liver transplant, and I guess we played together 6 or 7 years back in the 70s and 80s. And did you know Billy?
Billy McPherson, Atlanta reed player, currently residing in the great
Seattle,
Northwest.
Yeah, he's just amazing player. Played with Albert Collins for a long time, Chaka Khan. I think he left here, gosh, it's been 20 years ago. There were a lot of great players. Paul McCandless was living here in the 80s, and a lot of great musicians came to Atlanta.
Who's another of your favorite Atlanta musicians?
From a long time ago or now?
I like talking about the old guys.
The old guys?
Well,
Grant Green's a good friend. I talk to Grant every day, and he's here playing. There's nobody better than that guy. We're good friends, and we get to talk every day, and we get to play at least twice a month. So that's always just inspiring to be around him. He's unbelievable.
He is playing and singing great.
I just beg him to – I go take him out of town once a month so a whole other audience can see him. They don't know he lives, and he just kills people. Just he destroys people. And I just said, man, there's a whole market out there that you would be a star overnight, or at least, I mean, he's already got the musicianship down. Admiral Jay was a great friend of mine and a great player, and he was my first manager, and he was a banjo player. And the Reverend Mosier knows the history of him. This was in the 60s, and he played all the old banjo tunes. And he's another great Atlanta musician that, you know, never got his due, really. I mean, he played Eddie's Attic, I guess, 12 years ago, and then he passed away. He probably was 90 at least, had to be. But he was a one-man band. I think he would have loved it. Someday I'll give you his record. Abner J., and of course all the, you know, the other greats from here.